with Ian.
Take BBC Radio with you, whenever and wherever you go, with BBC iPlayer Radio.
I'm Kirsty Young from BBC Radio 4 on a brisk morning jog with Sarah.
You can listen live or catch up on your computer, tablet or mobile, or download the brand new app. To start your BBC iPlayer Radio journey, go to the Radio 3 website.
I'm John Shea, and there's music through the night with me from 12:30, continuing our series of Beethoven symphonies from the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Douglas Boyd. Very stylish performances, which I do recommend. That's from 12:30. Now, though, it's 11 o'clock, and it's Sunday night, that means it's time for Jazz Lineup, presented by Julian Joseph.
Jazz Lineup this week comes to you from the Fairfield Halls in Croydon, a venue that first opened its doors 50 years ago, on the 2nd of November 1962 to be exact, by Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth the Queen Mother. It's made up of three halls: the main concert auditorium, the Ashcroft Theatre, named after local dame Peggy Ashcroft, and the Arnhem Gallery. The first concert was given by the BBC Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Sir Malcolm Sargent, with soloist Yehudi Menuhin. Jazz has featured predominantly over the 50 years, with all the major jazz names appearing here in Croydon, situated just over 10 miles from central London. Through the programme, many of the great names in jazz are going to be represented by the Alan Barnes Quartet, who will play items associated with bands such as Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Art Pepper, Woody Herman, George Shearing, and many others. And we'll be hearing from people who've attended these concerts here at Fairfield: Alan Shipton, Jigs Wiggum, Acca Bilk, and Charles Alexander. Let's go inside as the Alan Barnes Quartet are about to play a tune associated with Coleman Hawkins. It's Bean and the Boys, from the album of the same name. He played here in 1966.
Thank you.
ladies and gentlemen, the Alan Barnes Quartet. Proceedings have definitely commenced when the music has started. That was the Alan Barnes Quartet, ladies and gents, with Bean and the Boys. And we're here in the illustrious foyer of the Fairfield Halls in Croydon, with an enthused audience by the high quality of musicians playing for us here. We've got Alan Barnes on the saxes, Dave Newton on the piano, Chris Hill on the bass, and Steve Brown on the drums. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 from the 50th anniversary of the Fairfield Halls in Croydon. The BBC Big Band have been recording Big Band Special tonight, conducted by Jigs Wiggum, a concert that you can hear on Radio 2 Monday nights on both the 5th and 12th of November at 9:30 p.m. Jigs was part of the Kenton Big Band that played here in Croydon, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome onto the stage Mr. Jigs Wiggum.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, you've just finished playing. Did you play any Kenton tonight?
Oh, yeah, sure. First of all, it's weird to be here. Very weird, because the first time I played here was in 1963 with Stan Kenton, 49 years ago, almost to the day, yeah. And to come back, and I played here with the BBC Big Band and the Rias Big Band, and also with the Bert Kempfert in 1980. So I've been here several times.
So what are the big memories, the big pervading memories of Fairfield Halls for you?
Well, first of all, when I first came here, I was 19. So I was just impressed with the country and the people and the beer. And the beer was pretty good, too.
At 19, you were impressed with everything.
Oh, yeah. And it was just a great place to be.
What specific pieces did you play tonight that...
Well, we did a cross-section of the bands and the orchestras who played here. We can't cover everybody in 2 hours, but we covered Kenton, Woody Herman, Maynard Ferguson, Billy May, a lot of people who had been here. Bert Kempfert, we did a beautiful arrangement written by Steve Gray of Love, L-O-V-E. And it was a good show, and the people were fantastic. You people were all at the show tonight, weren't you? Most of you? Did you like it?
Well, Jigs, it's been great having this brief conversation with you just about your reminiscences of being here, and also just about programming to play here with the BBC Big Band. People can hear the show on BBC Radio 2. Right. And Jigs, just before you go, I just wanted to find out, I know you do a lot of conducting and a lot of leading and orchestrating, but did you play much trombone tonight?
I did one feature solo of a beautiful piece that was actually recorded by Carl Fontana, one of my great heroes, Polka Dots and Moonbeams, a beautiful ballad. And did you like that? Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Mr. Jigs Wiggum.
Good to be here. All the best.
Happy birthday, Fairfield. Thank you.
As we mentioned, Stan Kenton, there was a recording at the Fairfield Halls in 1972, and we're going to hear from that. It's called Intermission Riff. That was a Stan Kenton band, and a recording made at the Fairfield Halls in 1972, Intermission Riff, and a real pleasure to speak with Jigs Wiggum. We return to this wonderful band, the Alan Barnes Quartet, and a piece dedicated to the great trumpet player, Dizzy Gillespie, who played here with his quintet in 1965, and you're going to hear Woody and You. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. It's very nice to be here playing some jazz for you. I'd just like to quickly introduce the quartet on the drums, the magnificent drumming of Steve Brown. On the bass, fantastic young bass player. His name is Chris Hill. And on the piano, the man I'm entering my fourth decade of playing with. I love it, he's had enough. David Newton on the piano. That was a piece by Dizzy Gillespie called Woody and You, dedicated to Woody Herman by Dizzy Gillespie. Good bit of practice for your minor seven flat fives. There, separates the men from the boys, that one. Now we're going to do a piece by Billy Strayhorn, a particularly beautiful ballad, and it's called Chelsea Bridge. Actually, it was inspired by a painting of Battersea Bridge by Whistler, but I think Billy Strayhorn came from a long line of estate agents, and he moved it up a couple of SW numbers. So here we go. Chelsea Bridge. Thank you.
The absolutely gorgeous stray horn composition, Chelsea Bridge. And how about that wonderful piano solo from Dave Newton, ladies and gentlemen. Supported with real sensitivity by Chris Hill on bass and Steve Brown on the drums. And executed with panache by Alan Barnes on that radiator-looking-like instrument called the baritone saxophone. Well, I'm very happy to be having a chat with Alan. The music tonight, programming it with this 50 years of the Fairfield Halls, how did you put together your program?
Well, it's quite easy. I got a list of people who played here over the last 50-odd years and just picked my favourites, and there were so many of them, and I knew tunes by most of them, and like Art Pepper and people like that, and so just chose my favourites.
Did you find that there was a lot of correlation between the people that had performed here and your own personal inspirations in becoming a jazz musician?
Yes, I mean, several of the people. I mean, when you talk about Dizzy Gillespie, I mean, that was a big early influence on me. Art Pepper was a huge influence and remains so. And, yeah, most of my heroes, I think, have played at the Fairfield Hall at one point or the other.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Alan Barnes.
Thank you.
I go to the piano now and play, well, stay in the realms of Ellingtonia and play a great piece of his called Prelude to a Kiss. And I hope you enjoy this. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, Julian Joseph, Prelude to a Kiss.
The consummate professional, Mr. Alan Shipton, ladies and gentlemen. Well, it gives me great pleasure to speak with you, Alan, because I know that you're a regular visitor to Fairfield Halls. It's inspired you and that it's meant a lot to you musically and also in feeding your radio career and your just your inspirations.
Yeah, I was trying to work out when I was first here, and actually I think it was when I was working as a road manager for the World Youth Orchestra in the early 70s, but the first jazz concerts, I had to root back through my collection of magazines, and I found 1972, October 1972, the Buddy Rich Orchestra, and I don't know if any of you were here for that concert, but it was the big band, and there was a great moment in the second half where they did the West Side Story suite, and it's about a 15-minute arrangement. In the middle of that, it's the first time I'd ever seen Buddy on stage, and all the lights came down, just a follow spot got narrower and narrower, and then you could just see the drumsticks on the snare drum. And that's one of the great memories I have. The first time I saw Buddy Rich in this hall doing the West Side Story suite, it's a memory will never fade.
I'm sure. What impact do you think this particular hall has had on the music scene?
Well, I think it's been very important in the London jazz scene. I mean, it's interesting looking at that itinerary for Buddy, because the band had been in Southport, Eastbourne, Folkestone, Hemel Hempstead, Bristol. But this was one of the two London area gigs they did. They played here and they played at Ronnie Scott's. Well, obviously not that many people could get into Scott's, but you could. It was a big audience here for the Buddy Rich Band in the concert hall. So it's always been the place that if you can't quite guarantee filling the festival hall or the Barbican, then this is the hall that bands played. And that's why so many people played here in the 60s and 70s and on to the present day.
It is a very important venue. Have you played here yourself?
No, only been a road manager here.
Well, one day, maybe one day soon. The hall is applauded for its acoustics. And, you know, do you think it's better than or less unwieldy than the Royal Festival Hall, as I understand?
I think it's more intimate. I think even though it's quite a steeply raked space, you do get a feeling of being quite close to what's going on stage. And I have two particular memories. One, I wasn't at the concert, but knowing that I was going to do this, I got a letter from my friend Michael Horowitz, who said maybe some people were around in September 1966 when he and Pete Brown and Victor Schonfield, a great name in British jazz, put on the Ornette Coleman Trio with David Isenson and Charles Moffat on drums. And he said, "What most people remember that concert for two things. The things they don't remember is that the great English pianist, sadly, who died very soon after, Mike Taylor, played here in the first set. And that was somebody worth hearing. And also, they did their poetry and jazz thing, Pete Brown and Michael, with the guitar of John Renbourn, who went on to join Pentangle. And then it was Ornette. And I think the thing we all know about that concert, and you can hear it on the recording, is that at the end, Ornette had quite a few pauses in the programme with just bass and drums, and it paused, and Michael says in his letter, somebody shouted out, "Now play Cherokee," which he almost instantaneously did flawlessly for 1.5 choruses.
Superb.
And at the other end of the spectrum, concert I remember, many of you may have been here for that too, was the 21st anniversary of the 1954 Chris Barber Band, which played here in 1975. And for those of us who'd grown up on those records, hearing Chris with Monty and Lonnie Donegan back in the lineup, Jim Bray, Ron Bowden on parole from the Kenny Ball Band, it was nice to hear them all back together in this hall and then hear the Chris Barber Band of the day doing the second half.
What do you think makes a venue a success?
I think that it can accommodate that extraordinary range of music, and whatever you hear, I'm sure it's the same for the big band tonight, you feel that the music's at home in the hall.
Well, Alan, I'm going to ask you to stay with us for a moment because we're going to talk some more. Now we turn to one of the most innovative of the jazz greats, an uncompromising and unique player and band leader, Ornette Coleman, captured live at the Fairfield Halls in 1965. This is Donuts. Thank you. From the album Ornette Coleman in Europe, Volume 2, recorded at the Fairfield Hall in Croydon on the 29th of August, 1965, Ornette on this album plays alto, trumpet and violin. David Isenson is on the bass and Charles Moffat is on the drums. And that was Donuts. Well, I'm still here with Alan Shipton, presenter of Jazz Record Requests on Radio 3. And this time we're going to talk about the 2012 London Jazz Festival.
Starting on Friday, the 9th of November.
Well, the programming is particularly exciting this year. What have we got in store? What are the treats?
Well, I think it's one of the biggest festivals that's ever existed in the history of the London Jazz Festival. And it's also great that it's in association with Radio 3, so a lot of the concerts will actually be on air. At the top end of the scale, the number of American superstars that are being wheeled in. I mean, there's Herbie Hancock doing his first ever London solo concert. Then there's John McLaughlin, who I suppose you can count as a kind of honorary American these days, although he lives in Monaco. Then Brad Meldow bringing his trio in. And, of course, a lot of local talent, too. The chance to hear somebody called David Newton, I believe, playing at the Bull's Head. And Mr. Barnes, of course, will be in many a gig, and we will be able to see him in a lot of different settings over the course of the festival.
One of the things the festival tries to do is to reach out to broader audiences. What is it doing in the programme to do that?
Well, I think one of the days that I'm really looking forward to is Saturday the 10th, which is going to be a feast of jazz film. And there are going to be three UK premieres. The first is the first cinematic showing of Mike Dibb's film about Barbara Thompson, called Playing Against Time, which is about her whole struggle against Parkinson's disease. There's a brand new film about Sonny Rollins, and particularly I'm looking forward to a film about Michel Petrucciani, which is being musically commented on by a pianist who we've never really heard much of in London, but is a great French pianist, Baptiste Trottignon. And it's not quite his London debut, but it's certainly the highest profile gig he's done, and a real chance to hear him playing at the QEH.
You mentioned the association with Radio 3. What else are Radio 3 doing in terms of their involvement in the festival?
Well, a very large number of concerts. So all our regular programmes, so Jazz Lineup, even Jazz Record Requests will be live from King's Place on the 14th, so do come along. And then Jazz on 3, of course, will not only be having the opening night of the festival at Ronnie Scott's, but will be broadcasting a lot of the concerts that go on. And I should say there'll be some other great visitors. There's Bill Frisell doing a film about the Great American Flood and playing along with that. Then Chick Corea in town. And on the final Sunday, a real treat for those of us who have been for many, many years fans of Kenny Wheeler, because the Kenny Wheeler Big Band is going to be playing some music that has not hitherto been performed in London.
Now, the South Bank Centre is the hub of the festival, but it includes so many other venues, doesn't it?
Right across London. So there are regular jazz clubs like the Pizza Express, the 606, the Bull's Head at Barnes, and there are venues stretching right down to the south like this, or up to the north. I mean, my own band's playing at the Arts Depot in Finchley, so, I mean, that's the other end of the spectrum from here, but really, everywhere within the M25 where there's a jazz venue, I think you'll find something going on.
Well, you've mentioned some of your favourite artists that are coming. Are any particular picks of the festival that you'd recommend?
There's one pick who, if I can ever get to hear him whenever he comes to the UK, I will always go to, and that's Sonny Rollins. Great concert at the Jazz Festival in 2007. Back in 2009, fantastic concert then, and I'm really looking forward to hearing him on the final Friday of the festival.
In fact, I should also ask you just to remind us of the dates of the festival. It goes from
the 9th until the 18th of November.
Before we hear a great piece of music by Sonny Rollins, I'd just like to say, Alan Shipton, thank you very much.
Thanks, Julian.
Alan Shipton, ladies and gentlemen. Wonderful, thank you. So, without further ado, let's hear a Sonny Rollins track. This is Just in Time.
Thank you.
the enjoyable music of Sonny Rollins, and that was just in time. I hope you enjoyed that. The first act to appear here at the Fairfield Halls was Mr. Acker Bilk with his Paramount Jazz Band. Jazzline called him up at home, and we asked him about that concert, remembering that it was 50 years ago. But first, a few bars of that most memorable of hits for Acker.
It was a hell of a place in them days. I mean, big for us. The acoustics were great. Had a good backstage with a bar. So it was a great place. I think the great thing about the music we play is it's all spontaneous. There's hardly anything, you know, worked out or written down. It's just how you feel on the night, really. And we inspire each other. If somebody plays a good solo, it gives you a boost, you know. And apart from anything else, it's got to swing a bit. You know, it's no good keeping time. You got to swing. Playing with Humphrey Littleton. He's a good mate of mine, good friend. Yeah, we've done quite a few things together. I'm still touring with the Three B's tour. That's Barber, Ball, and me, Bill, Three B's. We're doing some in Germany next week, or the week after. Yeah, it's good fun. I mean, it's good for me, because I haven't got to play too long. I only do an hour. And, they do an hour as well. So, you know, it's good for me. I suppose the band has changed over many years, really. This one is one of the best I've ever had, I think. I've got a great trumpet player, Rico, and a good trombone player, Ian Bateman. And it's a good band, you know. We play different every night. It's good playing with them. Good fun. Well, happy birthday, happy 50th to the Fairfield. We've been there many times and I love the place. I hope you have a good birthday.
How lovely. Mr. Acker Bilk, MBE. That was Acker Bilk speaking to us last week, and good to know he's still touring. His next two gigs in the UK are on the 13th of this month at the Courtyard Theatre, Hereford, and on the 27th at the Platform in Morecambe. That's the former railway station there, thus the name. And it's all part of the tour he mentioned with the Three B's, Ball, Barber and Bilk. Acker will be here at the hall this year, 50 years on, and the music was his world-famous hit, Stranger on the Shore. Thank you, Acker, for talking to us. Well, back to the live music, and we're back to the Alan Barnes Quartet. And we hear a piece dedicated to the great Jerry Mulligan, and this is Lion for Lions. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to play a piece now by Dave Brubeck. No, it's not Take Five. We're not doing that. Do enough of that everywhere else. Dave Brubeck was the first American to appear at the Fairfield Hall in 1962, after it had only been open a couple of weeks. And we're going to play a tune of his called In Your Own Sweet Way. Musicologists may be interested to know that Miles Davis recorded this like he did with a couple of tunes, got it slightly wrong, half remembered it. But actually, some of us prefer what he did on the first bit, but I've put Dave Brubeck's real middle into this version. So it's an amalgam. So if you're sat at home when this goes out listening, you can say, listen to that. He's doing the original Dave Brubeck middle, but with the Miles Davis first date. And whoever you're with will go... Oh, sorry, I've gone then. Right, this is called In Your Own Sweet Way. Thank you.
Alan Barnes and the Quartet with In Your Own Sweet Way by the great American pianist and composer Dave Brubeck. And we heard Alan playing the clarinet there. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, celebrating the 50th anniversary of one of Britain's great concert venues. We're at the Fairfield Halls in Croydon. Well, a regular attendee at this venue is guitarist Charles Alexander, the managing director of the Jazzwise magazine and jazz educator and broadcaster. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you, Julian.
Well, it's nice to see you. Your origins are in Edinburgh, but you know this place very well, don't you?
Well, I do. When we moved to London, we sort of landed up in South London, and I was aware of the Fairfield Halls before then, and we realised it was an enormous asset, and so we came to many, many concerts here. And indeed, I produced one or two concerts here, I think, during my term at the Jazz Centre Society, which was in the 1970s.
Which ones were those?
That I can't remember.
Ah.
I've spent the last few days trying to recall what they were. I think one of them might have been Stan Tracy, but I really can't remember.
Which guitar acts have you seen here?
The one I remember in particular was Martin Taylor, when he was stepping in for Herb Ellis with the great guitars. Now, the great guitars were Barney Kessel, who for me was one of my big influences as a guitar player myself, and Charlie Byrd, who played a nylon-strung classical guitar and was one of the people who was kind of responsible for introducing the bossa nova into America. And Martin, I thought, was very, very brave to be sort of sitting in with this company. A couple of people have been playing here tonight who know Martin's playing very well, because they also have performed with him, David Newton and Alan Barnes. Yeah. But in fact, Martin could more than hold his own in this illustrious company, and it was actually a great concert. A lot of spontaneity in it.
Do you think jazz is as daring as it used to be?
I find now, having been involved in producing jazz concerts in the 1970s, I think the jazz scene right now is at its peak, in fact. I don't think we've ever had such a creative milieu of musicians as we have right now.
What is your pick of the gigs that you've seen here?
Well, one I remember particularly was Woody Herman Orchestra. Sadly, Woody had died before then, and the leadership was in the hands of Frank Tiberi, who was a wonderful tenor sax player. And the band was just incredible. Two numbers I remember them playing. One was La Fiesta, great version of La Fiesta, which was Chick Corea, sort of Spanish-influenced tune. And the other one was Giant Steps by John Coltrane, which the band took an unbelievable lick. And Frank Tiberi played a most fantastic tenor solo in it. I remember that in particular.
Well, thank you so much, Charles Alexander.
Thank you, Julian.
Well, it gives me great pleasure to bring Alan Barnes back to the stage to play their last piece. This is called The Goof and I, and associated with the great Woody Herman. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Dave Newton on the piano, Chris Hill on the bass, Steve Brown on the drums. Alan Barnes is back on the baritone saxophone, the Alan Barnes Quartet, and The Goof and I. Thank you.
The Alan Barnes Quartet, The Goof and I, associated with Woody Herman. And that ends this jazz lineup coming to you from Fairfield Hall's Croydon to celebrate their 50th anniversary. Thank you to all our guests today and the music from the Alan Barnes Quartet with Alan on reeds, Dave Newton on the piano, Chris Hill on bass, and Steve Brown on the drums. In particular, thanks to Graham Lanborn, who's provided unique information into the jazz that has appeared here. Jazz Lineup moves down the road to London South Bank for next week's programme as part of the London Jazz Festival with Kevin Legendre, when you'll hear sets from Tigran Hamasyan, Mike Janish and Otterang. Till then, we leave you with Stan Kenton and his orchestra performing his theme tune, Artistry in Rhythm, recorded here at the Fairfield Halls in 1972. From me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
I'm John Shea, and welcome to another edition of BBC Radio 3 Through the Night. Now, if you were listening at this time yesterday, then you'll have heard the first concert from a complete Beethoven symphony cycle, which the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra gave, with Douglas Boyd conducting in August last year. I hope you enjoyed their stylish performances as much as I did, and if you missed it, then remember you can catch up via the Radio 3 website. Their accounts of the 2nd and 5th symphonies begin today's programme. Beethoven's Symphony No. 2 in D major is the culmination of the classical symphony of Haydn and Mozart, says David Cairns, but he adds, the music's extraordinary physicality is already unprecedented. Thank you.
Thank you.